This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
In today's program, you can hear our feature, The African Synod, The Church Alive in Africa Today. First, however, our bulletin of church news, followed by Africa News Panorama. We shall close today's program with Millennium Appointment. I am Festus Tarawali. Pope Leo XIV held a special audience on Monday for ecumenical and interreligious delegations that took part in the solemn mass for the inauguration of his patrine ministry on Sunday. In his address, the Holy Father highlighted Pope Francis's emphasis on universal fraternity, continuing the initiatives of previous popes in dialogue with other churches as well as interreligious dialogue. Christopher Wells reports.
Speaking first to churches and ecclesial communities not in full communion with the Catholic Church, Pope Leo took note of the 1700th anniversary of the Council of Nicaea, emphasizing that unity among Christians can only be unity in faith.
Riconosciamo che questa unità non può che essere unità nella fede.
He said that the pursuit of full and visible communion of all Christians is one of his priorities as the Bishop of Rome. At the same time, Pope Leo recalled the close links between ecumenism and synodality and assured the delegations of his commitment to follow Pope Francis in promoting the synodal character of the Catholic Church. Turning to representatives of non-Christian religious traditions, Pope Leo XIV said our common path can and must be understood to involve everyone in a spirit of human fraternity.
Oggi è tempo di dialogare, di costruire ponti.
Today, he said, is the time for dialogue and building bridges. Following the path laid out by Vatican II, Pope Leo also highlighted the spiritual heritage shared by Christians and Jews, and emphasized the importance of theological dialogue between the two communities. Pope Leo went on to note the growing commitment to dialogue and fraternity that marks relations between the Catholic Church and Muslims, saying an approach based on mutual respect and freedom of conscience is a solid basis for building bridges between our communities. Finally, addressing representatives of other religious traditions, Pope Leo expressed gratitude for their contributions to peace in a world wounded by violence and conflict.
La testimonianza della nostra fraternità, che mi auguro...
Pope Leo XIV concluded his discourse by sharing his conviction that the witness of our fraternity will certainly contribute to building a more peaceful world.
Contribuirà certamente a edificare un mondo più pacifico.
I'm Christopher Wells.
Earlier on Monday, Pope Leo XIV held an audience with the Vice President of the United States of America, James David Vance, in the Vatican's Apostolic Palace. The Holy See Press Office announced that the U.S. Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, was also present at the audience and that both men were accompanied by their wives. In a statement, the press office said after the private audience with the American-born Pope, the U.S. Vice President met with Archbishop Paul Richard Gallagher, Secretary for Relations with States and International Organizations. During the cordial talks in the Secretariat of State, Mr. Vance and Archbishop Gallagher reiterated the good bilateral relations between the Holy See and the United States. They also discussed the collaboration between the Church and the U.S. government, along with several matters of special relevance to ecclesial life and religious freedom, read the statement. Finally, there was an exchange of views on some current international issues, during which hope was expressed that humanitarian law and international law be respected in areas of conflict and that there be a negotiated solution between the parties involved. Pope Leo XIV also received an audience on Monday morning, the President of the Republic of Colombia, His Excellency Mr. Gustavo Francisco Pietro Urrego, in the Vatican's Apostolic Palace. Shortly after, the President of Colombia went on to meet with Archbishop Paul Richard Gallagher, Vatican Secretary for Relations with States and International Organizations. A Holy See Press Office statement said during the cordial talks held at the Secretariat of State, satisfaction was expressed for the good relations between Colombia and the Holy See, highlighting the positive and lasting collaboration between church and state in support of peace and reconciliation processes. The statement also noted that the conversation continued with an exchange of views on the socio-political situation in Colombia and the region, with particular attention to the challenges linked to security, migration, and climate change. Pope Leo also held a series of private audiences on Monday, including with His Holiness Bartholomew I, Ecumenical Patriarch of Constantinople, before meeting with a delegation from the Diocese of Chiclayo in Peru, where he served as bishop from 2015 to 2023. A priest kidnapped in Cameroon earlier this month has been released. Father Valentin Mbaibarem was kidnapped on May the 7th from Cameroon's Catholic Archdiocese of Garoua. Claudia Torres reports.
Sometime on the night between May 15 and 16, Father Valentin Mbaibarem was released, according to an interview Fides held with Archbishop Fauste Ambassa Ndiodo of Garoua. The priest has seen a doctor and is reportedly in good physical condition. He was the last of six hostages to be freed. Four were released before him and one died in captivity. Local press had reported a demand had been made for the priest's release, a ransom of about $42,000. The archbishop clarified that the archdiocese did not pay a ransom for the priest's return, but he said he did not know if others paid it. In the statement announcing the priest's release, the Archdiocese of Garoua thanks all those who prayed for his release and invoked the Lord's blessing on everyone who worked toward this goal. Although the identity of the kidnappers has not been revealed, they are suspected to be part of the Islamist group Boko Haram, who began their campaign in Nigeria but expanded to Cameroon as well. The United Nations reported their actions have led to at least 350,000 deaths, some triggered by indirect causes like food shortages and a lack of health care. I'm Claudia Torres.
In a powerful show of faith and generosity, 11th grade students from across the Archdiocese of Johannesburg, South Africa, gathered recently for their annual Mass, a celebration that ended not just in prayer, but in action as students donated food parcels to support the Cathedral of Christ the King Soup Kitchen. You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
African News Panorama.
Kenyan lawyer and the former Minister for Justice Martha Karua told reporters in Nairobi on Monday that she was deported from Tanzania to prevent her from attending the court case of opposition leader Tundu Lissu. Mr. Lissu, who heads the opposition Chadema party, was arrested a few weeks ago and charged with treason. He appeared in court on Monday in a defiant mood. In addition to imprisoning its leader, the government of Tanzania has banned Chadema party from participating in the parliamentary and presidential elections scheduled for October this year. Mrs. Karua said she was detained along with the two colleagues who were accompanying her, and all of them were interrogated at Julius Nyerere International Airport before being deported. Karua is a respected human rights campaigner and a strong critic of governments which violate people's rights. Human rights organizations have warned that the Tanzanian government is increasingly becoming autocratic. The Tigray People's Liberation Front in Ethiopia has called upon the African Union to mediate with the federal government after the Electoral Commission revoked its legal status as a party. The front is dominant in the Tigray region from where it fought a bloody civil war with the federal government. The conflict killed tens of thousands of people and displaced millions. The fighting ended with the signing of a peace agreement mediated by the African Union and South Africa. The ban of the party follows months of political tensions within its leadership, which prevented it from holding a General Assembly in time stipulated by the law. Political observers have warned that the ban could endanger the peace process. Reports from Mauritania say the former president Mohamed Aoud Abdel Aziz was sentenced to 15 years in prison last week for corruption. Court found him guilty of economic crimes and abuse of power, although he denied the allegations. Mr. Abdel Aziz came to power in 2008 in a coup d'etat and later transformed himself into a civilian and stood for elections, which he won in 2009 and 2014. After serving two terms of office, he handed over power to an elected government in 2019.
The African Synod, the Church Alive in Africa Today.
Hello and welcome to the program. I am Festus Tarawali. Preparations are underway in South Africa for the annual symposium and general meeting of the Confederation of Conferences of Major Superiors of Africa and Madagascar, known by the acronym COMSAM. The theme chosen for the symposium is Hope, Synodality and Empowerment of Consecrated Life in Africa. COMSAM was established in 2005 by the Symposium of Episcopal Conferences of Africa and Madagascar, SECAM, and serves as a platform for collaboration among religious congregations. It works in close partnership with the Dicastery for Institutes of Consecrated Life and Societies of Apostolic Life. In an interview with Sheila Purish of the Communications Office of the Southern African Catholic Bishops Conference, Father Emmanuel Mvomo, Secretary General of COMSAM, spoke about the organization and about the significance of the upcoming meeting scheduled to take place in South Africa from May the 23rd to the 30th.
Thank you for the invitation and the space to talk about COMSAM. Really, I'm Father Emmanuel Mvomo. I'm a Cameroonian. I'm a religious, Congregation of the Sons of the Immaculate Conception. And presently, I'm in Lourdes, where I am also a chaplain in Our Lady of Lourdes Shrine. So, what is COMSAM? COMSAM is a confederation, the confederation of the conferences of major superiors of every country in Africa. You know that in every country, we have the Episcopal Conference, but we have also the Conference of Major Superiors of Congregation. And COMSAM is the confederation of all the conferences of major superiors in Africa. COMSAM has been created by SECAM, which is the symposium of Episcopal Conferences in Africa in 2005 in Benin. So the COMSAM is first of all in collaboration with SECAM, which is with that means with our bishops. COMSAM is in confederation, obviously, with CHISVA, the Dicastery of Religious Life, as we know. And COMSAM want to be the point, the essential point for all the congregation, all the conferences, and all the religious in Africa. So that is what I can say about COMSAM.
Thank you so much for explaining that, Father Emmanuel. So COMSAM, the symposium, and AGM, the annual general meeting, is coming to South Africa for the first time since you've began COMSAM. Talk to us about the choice coming to South Africa and also about some of the guests that we can expect here in South Africa.
The choice were the choice of the heart, because, you know, in COMSAM, we are in collaboration with the regions. You know that in the religious life, as in the political life, Africa is divided in six regions. And for last year, we have the joys to see the Southern African region constituted. And it was very glad for us to see that our brothers of the Southern African are now in the same conference. So that is with that joy, we decided to go in South Africa to celebrate with them, to celebrate with this newborn, as I can say, in South Africa. So for the symposium, the symposium is the is a place to think about religious life in Africa. This year, we are glad to celebrate a symposium with the topic Hope, Synodality, and Empowerment of Consecrated Life in Africa. We are in the Jubilee year, the Jubilee of Hope. So we will talk about it. And we will talk about synodality. You know, we are talking about synodality lastly in the church. And we will talk also about an African problem, an African preoccupation, which is the empowerment of the consecrated life in Africa. You know that now so many congregations are international, but really Africans are more. And we have to take care of what we are and what we, how we can build our religious life in Africa. So we have those points. And for that, we will have, I think the very important person we will receive is the Cardinal Ambongo, of who is the president of SECAM. And he will be with us. And he will talk with us about the synodality, what's happened during this synodos about synodality. He will share with us about it. And we will have many people talk about those topics we have. For example, I have here one topic about sexual abuse. You know, that is a problem now in the church. And I think even in Africa, sometimes we don't used to speak more for that kind of topics in Africa because of our mentality, but it's a reality also. So we will talk about everything around hope, around sexual abuse, around empowerment in religious life in Africa, around synodality. Anyway, We want to build our religious life with our African point of views in any of those points.
Now, thank you so much for sharing that with us. And of course, another key guest speaker is the prefect herself, Sister Brambrina, who will also be joining this symposium and AGM.
Yes, is also our main guest. She accepted to come in South Africa, in Africa, but really in Southern and then in South Africa, to come and celebrate and stay with us. That is very important. For example, during the symposium, she will don't have a particular speech, but she want to stay with us. She want to communicate with us. She wants to pass time with us, and that is very, very important. And it will be an opportunity for religious, for presidents and everybody to share with her. And I think is an opportunity because she is new and she's the first woman like a prophet, and it's very important. But it's also important because we have the new Pope. We have the new Pope. So it's an opportunity so that when she will go back in Rome, she can talk with the Pope with an experience, a real experience, an actual experience of religious life in Africa. So for us, Sister Brambila, she's welcome, and we will be very, very glad to be with her. Like Jesus called the disciples to be with him. It's very important. It's not to do anything else. First of all, to be with him, and she will be with us. But I also want to invite all my brothers and sisters of Southern Africa. This is a great time to be together. So I'm calling all those of Southern Africa. That means Angola, Mozambique, Botswana, South Africa, obviously, Swaziland, Lesotho, Namibia, to come.
Father Emmanuel Mvomo, Secretary General of the Confederation of Conferences of Major Superiors of Africa and Madagascar, or COMSAM. He was speaking there to Sheila Purish.
You are welcome to this week's edition of Millennium Appointment. The President of South Africa, Cyril Ramaphosa, has invited the private sector to play a more active role in the economies of African countries. He made the call last week at the 12th edition of the Africa CEO Forum, which was held in the Ivorian city of Abidjan, under the theme, "Can a new deal between state and private sector deliver the continent a winning hand?" The private sector refers to that part of the country's economy which is owned by individuals and companies with the intention of making profit, while the part of the economy controlled by government is known as the public sector. Mr. Ramaphosa attended the meeting to promote South Africa's economic opportunities. He said private individuals and organizations could invest in many sectors of the economy and pattern the public sector.
We would like the private sector to follow in tandem with the public sector to be active participants. We are twins. We need to work together.
In 2018, 44 of the 55 African Union member states signed the African Continental Free Trade Agreement in Rwanda's capital, Kigali. The agreement created the African Continental Free Trade Area. The agreement entered into force in 2019. The member states committed themselves to eliminate taxes on most goods and services over a period of 5, 10, or 13 years. President Ramaphosa is a strong supporter of the agreement.
The Africa Continental Free Trade Area is a fundamentally transformative mechanism that was adopted by the leaders of the continent. And we should recognize and applaud the fact that the political leaders under the aegis of the AU saw wisdom, and led by President Isufu, and President Kagame was leading the reform process, they saw wisdom in scaling the fortunes of Africa up, moving us beyond just talking about politics and the unity of the continent, and wanting to put in place the real building blocks of what will support that unity and the progress on our continent. And that was about the economic growth of the continent through engendering trade, and that's why the African Continental Free Trade Area was adopted.
President Ramaphosa placed significant emphasis on the free trade area and its advantages, describing it as a driver of development because it provides access to a big market of over 1 billion people on the African continent.
The African Continental Free Trade Area is an engine of growth, and through it, we'd like the private sector to participate in it, because it gives the African continent an opportunity to integrate, and it gives business people the opportunity to see the 1.4 billion people market on our continent. With this agreement, we're able to get the private sector working with the public sector to embark on meaningful projects such as infrastructure. Because for trade to have meaning and to happen on our continent, infrastructure projects must be embarked upon. Roads must be built. Our airlines must work properly. Our ports must work properly. Our rail network must work properly. And this is where the private sector can partner with the public sector, where we can work together.
The Africa CEO Forum is a platform that brings together multinational business companies, investors, and heads of state and government, as well as financial institutions in Africa, to share ideas on how to accelerate economic transformation on the African continent. The two-day meeting held in Ivory Coast was attended by 2,500 business leaders and public officials. South Africa will chair the G20 summit in November this year. Mr. Ramaphosa said he will use the platform to advocate for fair management of Africa's resources.
When it comes to things like critical minerals, we want a critical minerals accord that will enable all of us to manage our critical minerals properly. And we can only do so when the public sector and the private sector move together and work together.
President Cyril Ramaphosa of South Africa, speaking there last week at the 12th edition of the Africa CEO Forum in the Ivorian city of Abidjan. And that was Millennium Appointment for this week. This has been Johnny Baptist Tumosime.
You have been listening to the English Africa Service of Vatican Radio. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.